Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I am your host, Mark Gabberti, CEO and founder of Content Marketing Plaza, bringing you three new episodes each week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. Now, if your breakthrough does happen to be you want to become an influencer, you want to make money doing what you love, well, we recently opened up the Advanced Influencer Mastermind, which you can learn more about at contentmarketingplaza.com/mastermind, which will be in the show notes. But today's episode follows a similar theme to being an influencer and making money doing what you love. And that theme is, how do we massively grow our social media audiences? How do we get all these people to consume our content, to go from social media to our sites? There's so much potential on social media, but today's guest, he has really cracked the code on this stuff. He is a wizard of the social media sphere who has built online platforms for A-listers, including Taylor Swift and Rihanna. He has advised brands such as MTV, Skechers, Vice, and IKEA on how to establish and grow their digital audience and engagement. He has spent his career discovering the best tools to turn any no-name into a top influencer simply by speaking into a camera or publishing a popular blog. And now he's going to share those secrets with us in this episode of Breakthrough Success. So today's guest for episode 329 is none other than Brendan Kane. Brendan, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me, Mark. I really appreciate it.
Brendan, I'm really happy to have you on the Breakthrough Success podcast and definitely looking forward to this episode. Before we get into the hardcore stuff, how do we grow on social media and really be able to grow that audience, I'm wondering if you could share a little bit on how your social media journey began and how you saw that, hey, this is something that I could help brands with.
So it was actually quite a while ago. So I went to film school to learn the business side of film and quickly realized that they don't teach you much about business in film school, and figured the best way to learn about business is start your own. And the most cost efficient way at the time, and it still holds true today, is to start online businesses. So I started a few online companies while I was going to college just to experiment and see what it really took to build something from scratch and run a business. And then when I moved to Los Angeles in 2005, to pursue a career in film, it's when the entertainment industry started to reawaken to digital after the dot-com bust, and basically saw that there was an opportunity because there was a lot of high-profile people, whether that was producers, studio executives, actors, directors. They were asking a lot of questions about social media, about digital and technology, and how it could be leveraged to promote their films. So I decided to leverage that knowledge that I had gained in creating those internet companies, going to college, to really forge connections, get projects, and get started in the film industry. And it just ended up being far more rewarding and fun to work in that space than to produce movies. So I just kept on that path.
And it's interesting how you saw that a lot of these top people were really asking, like, oh, how do I master social media? How do I do this? And sometimes, I mean, it could be really good to, if you want to see where things are going to go, look at what the celebrities are doing. Look at what the big brands are doing. So like podcasting, for instance, there's a lot more money going into podcasting than ever before. So this is certainly a medium that is getting a lot more traction. But it doesn't matter which medium you pick. The goal pretty much remains the same, growing that massive audience, engaging with them, and providing that overall value. So when you are with an A player, I mean, we mentioned some like really incredible people and brands just in that intro. I'm wondering, like, when you sit down with them, what is the mental process? What is the strategy that goes into growing their audiences?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, first off, when I sit in the room with anybody, whether it's a big celebrity, a big CEO, or just somebody that's starting from scratch, is really starting with what are their goals. And I think that people don't really think about why they're doing what they're doing. And that's where I think people ultimately fail, is really understanding what the overall specific business objectives are, what that return on investment looks like. Because without that, I think people can get lost, especially with when they get into it and realize how much work it takes, not just work, but also the investment from a time and financial aspect. So really, I love to start with understanding who the person is, what they're trying to achieve, and why they're trying to achieve it. Because I'm a firm believer that there's not just one strategy that's right for everybody. It's really finding the right strategy for the individual person or company or brand based upon where they're at today and where they want to get to, and also the resources that they have at their disposal.
And I like that insight, how there's not one strategy right for everyone. I mean, when I got started on social media, it was Twitter, and I'm sure people will say YouTube, Facebook, whatever it is that really works for them, but just being able to find that strategy that works for you. And I'm wondering, how do we really identify what works for us? Because, I mean, depending on who you ask, like, any social network could really be the best one for you to establish your presence in. So how do we actually determine what is the best social network for us to pursue?
I would first say that what is the social network that you love using yourself? Because that's the best place to start. And I also run into some people sometimes that are like, yeah, I don't really like social media, but I know I need to do it because everybody's talking about it, or everybody tells me it'll help my business. And I just tell them, listen, if you don't find something redeeming about social media or something that you like about it, just don't go into it. Because, again, this is hard work. It's going to take time. It's going to take effort. It's going to take resources. And, again, to the point of which social network to start with which one you like, which one you consume content on, which one is fun for you, and start there. Because you can, as you know, you can be successful in any social platform and leverage it to your advantage if you know going in that you can be successful with and you know how to position it properly.
And that's really great advice, just picking the one that you enjoy the most. I mean, just going back to me again, Twitter, that was the one I really enjoyed. But if your one is Facebook and you enjoy it, start with that social network. You certainly don't want to pick a social network because someone told you it's hot and you don't like it. And that will definitely show in the quality of content. It'll show in work ethic and different things like that. One thing that I do want to address is that there are some people who maybe they're afraid of reaching out to some of these big A-listers or big brands, like all those that I mentioned in your intro. And so while some people are afraid of, you know, just reaching out and communicating, like, you have these people as clients. So I'm wondering if you could talk a little about how that happens, like how you're able to get that conversation started and eventually turn some of these celebrities and brands into clients.
So it comes down to two main things. First off, when you're talking about a big celebrity client like a Taylor Swift, is you're not going to be able to reach out to them directly. You have to go through somebody else. So I put a lot of my effort and energy and focus on people that are very well connected, and I refer to them as super connectors, is people that know a lot of people, whether that is a manager, an agent, a producer, a director, or just an individual that's just really well connected. Because people will put their effort into going directly to the head of a corporation or celebrity itself. And I'm not saying that can't work. It can. But I've seen my success and how I've been able to secure all of these major clients and names is by finding people that are very well connected and forging relationships or partnerships with them. And then the second thing, and that is pretty much the most important aspect, and the reason that I've been successful over the course of my career in solidifying big clients, is I always go in with the mindset of how am I going to provide value to this person. I go in with a very open mind, and I go in with the idea that I'm going to really try and understand who this person is, what their pain points are, what their goals and objectives are, and then I am there to provide value. I'm not there to sell them. I'm not there to close them as clients. I am just trying to figure out what is it they need and how can I provide something of value to them that can solve that specific need. And I see that that's really where a lot of people go wrong when we're talking about closing partnerships or deals at the highest levels, is you've got to understand that a big celebrity or the CEO of a major corporation, they have people reaching out to them all the time trying to get something out of them. versus if you take the other approach of just how am I going to provide the most value to this person, it really shifts the paradigm of how they perceive you. They perceive you as somebody that can help them instead of somebody that's trying to sell them. So I would say that those are the two main things that have allowed me to be successful at those higher levels.
A lot of really interesting points. I mean, it's not like you think about them very often, because a lot of people, they think about reaching that big brand or reaching that celebrity, and you know, it's usually what's in it for me. Like, I'm looking to get something out of this. But I mean, what Brendan is saying is really spot on. Just focus on providing value. I mean, if you were in podcasting, you're getting a lot of pitches from people who want to be on your show. I mean, imagine the easily thousands of different pitches that a top brand or celebrity is getting every single day. So definitely something to think about, just that focus on going out there and providing the value. And going back to that whole theme of providing value, how can we get better at distributing our value across different social platforms? Because I feel like some people, they create this valuable content, but then they're not that good with the distribution. So I'm wondering if you could share some thoughts on that.
Well, you hit it on the head. It comes down to value. So the first thing is you got to be honest with yourself in terms of the content that you're producing today. Is the content of value to audiences? Or is it just, this is content I think I like, or is this content of me trying to sell myself as a brand, as a social content creator, or actually trying to sell a product? Because distribution of content becomes a lot easier the better your content performs and the higher the quality of content performs, because there's not a media company or media channel or a social account out there that doesn't want to post high quality content on their audience or to their audience. So first and foremost is your content at the level that it needs to be? If it's not, start with a competitive analysis, look at the accounts that you want to distribute your content on and see what content they are distributing to their audience and figure out why is their content better? How is their content different? What are the formats? What are the themes? What are the stories they're covering? And then try and produce content at that level in those same format structures or themes. And then once you have that, then again, it becomes a lot easier. And to me, like the approach that I always take is make a list of every single distribution outlet that reaches the audience that you want to reach. And then you just reach out to as many of them as possible and connect with as many of them as possible. But again, with the mindset of, with that cold outreach of how you are providing value to that individual or to that media company or to that account. Because again, where people go wrong in distribution is they're just thinking about themselves or thinking about how can I get my content in front of more people versus how can the content that I'm producing provide more value to the outlets that I want to distribute it on. And in some cases that maybe your content is just at that level and you just need to get in front of them. Some cases it may be, hey, I'm willing to work with you to produce content specific to your audience. Or there's another way that I'm sure you're familiar with where you can do share for share groups with other people that are in your niche or people that are on a similar level to you.
A lot of really interesting insights. I mean, definitely a lot of tactics that work, but the underlying theme behind all of this is don't focus on yourself. I mean, I feel like we could all attest to this at certain points where when you focus on yourself, you know, it takes a lot longer to get to where you want to go. You sometimes don't even hit the result. But when you think about the other person who you're really impacting with your content, that's when you get a lot more driven. That's where the results happen a lot more. When you put others first, focus on providing that value and less on, you know, what's in it for me. Like, I'm providing all this value, like I'm entitled to something. So certainly having that stronger focus on the other person is really essential to success on social media.
Yeah, and just to give you a quick analogy and story around that. So Prince EA, the content creator who wrote the foreword for my book, so he spent about 8 years trying to put music content out in the world, and he wanted to be a rapper. And he had some success. I mean, he generated 10 million views over 8 years, but the content was all about him and about him becoming famous, him about making money. And then one day he woke up and he's like, listen, I'm just going to shift. And I just want to provide value to the world. I want to provide motivation, inspiration, and education to people all around the world. And since then, he, over the course of 2 years, he's done over 2 billion views. Wow. Just in that shift of mindset of I'm going to provide value to other people. So it just shows the dynamic of that mindset shift and the way to approach content of how am I providing value to the audience? How am I providing value to distribution partners?
Yeah, that's a really great story. Because, I mean, it just shows how much more you can expand when you think about your audience. I mean, even someone with, getting millions of views. I mean, then all of a sudden, focus on the audience led to billions of views. So even if you are really up there on, like, you feel like you're on the top of the pinnacle, and then you change your focus on to your audience, you definitely get a lot more results. So I definitely love that example. One thing that I do want to also cover in this episode, I mean, you like talking about super connectors, but I mean, you definitely know a lot of people. So it's certain that you're a super connector. You know a lot of people. And by knowing a lot of people, you've come across a lot of people who have different ways of living and doing all these different things. So with all that in mind, I'm wondering if you could share with us some of your habits that you would consider essential to your success.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that there's a few elements that has helped me along the way. I think first and foremost is understanding the purpose and the value of failure, and not looking at failure as a negative thing, but looking at it as an experience to learn from. Because so many people get caught up in things not working, and it brings them down so quickly that they either give up or they can't rebound quick enough to move on to what they actually learned from the experience. So, and it's taken me time. Don't get me wrong. It's not something that I just woke up the first day of being an entrepreneur and was able to handle. I would say that setbacks and failures in the beginning, it could take me 2 or 3 days to overcome the down feeling from it. Versus today, after years and years of experiences, maybe it impacts me for an hour or two at most, and then I move on. So really understanding the mindset of looking at failures as learning experiences rather than negative things. And it also plays in kind of hand in hand with the second element, which is this constant testing mindset and learning mindset. It's like, I just love learning. I love trying new things and testing things. And especially when you're talking about growing social audiences, being successful in digital, it's like you have to integrate that type of mindset of that you're always going to test things and learn from those tests. I think that so many people get into social media and they just try and stick with one thing. And when it doesn't work, they either blame social media or they just ignore the fact that it's not generating the results that they're looking for. So I would say that those are probably the two main things that have made me successful outside of that, what we just talked about at length around providing value to other people and having that mindset.
You know, that's definitely a really great mantra for us, because so many people, like, they hit a failure and, you know, they're done. Like, they don't want to do it anymore, and especially with all the shiny objects out there. I mean, like, you know, if Instagram doesn't work for you, there's YouTube. There's all these different options. And sometimes, yes, it is good to go from one place to the other. If, you know, you see that as the better move, you enjoy, let's say you actually enjoy YouTube more than Instagram, then YouTube is the better play there. But some people, they get hit by this big failure and then they stop. And then they just keep on hopping from one thing to the next. So it's good to just view failure as something to learn from it. And that's how you get better over time. I mean, singers, like, you know, they bomb before they get really successful. And I mean, comedy and business. And it's good to take, like, something like sports and connect some of those lessons that we get from sports, like, you know, failure is part of it, you lose games and stuff like that, and really being able to connect that with business. So I certainly like that idea. Look at failure as an experience to learn from instead of this thing that, you know, is the end-all of your career.
Yeah, there's no way you can get to success without failure, and there's no way that you can appreciate success without failure. So I would just look at that as part of the process and going forward.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely gives you that higher appreciation, and Brendan's totally spot on that. And I mean, his book, another thing that you should definitely consider is something that could provide a lot of value. Brendan's book, 1 Million Followers, which will be in the show notes. I just mentioned your book, but I'm wondering if you could share with us one book that you believe would have a positive impact on us.
So I think that I can think of two. One book is kind of what we talked about in terms of, you know, your question about how do you connect with high profile people and win business. So that book would be How to Win Friends and Influence People. It's by Dale Carnegie. It's probably one of my favorite books of all time. So I think that's really from a mindset and just how to really navigate the world of being an entrepreneur and being in business. And then when it pertains specifically to digital and social content, I would recommend the book Contagious by Jonah Berger, where he basically studied virality for 15 years and breaks down why people share things, which I think is ultimately critically important to understand when it comes to producing content for social and digital platforms.
Brendan, thank you for those great book recommendations. The books I'd strongly recommend as well. For anyone who wants to read them, they're in the show notes, markcaberti.com/E329. We'll throw in content marketing secrets in there as well. If you want to learn how to grow and monetize your content brand, that is the book for you. And before we wrap up this episode, Brendan, I've asked you a few questions throughout our time together, but what do you believe is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
I think that one of the most important questions to ask yourself is, why are you doing what you're doing? Are you going after and creating a YouTube channel or an Instagram channel or whatever it is because you truly love it, because you think you want to become famous, because you think you're going to make a lot of money, because your friends are telling you to do it? It's really checking in with yourself to understand why it is you're doing what you're doing, because that's really ultimately going to drive you to success or drive you to failure. So if you're doing it for the right reasons, you're going to be in it for the long haul and you're going to do whatever it takes to succeed because that's what you're truly passionate about. Versus if you're doing it for the wrong reasons, that's typically where failure creeps in and you give up because you ultimately your heart isn't in it and it. And from my experience, at least, is like that passion and that drive has to be there to overcome those obstacles, to overcome those road bumps along the way, to overcome those difficult situations that will really test whether or not you'll be successful.
Yeah, that's certainly a great question. And it's good for us to think about why we're doing what we're doing, because sometimes the why isn't there. And at other times, the why is there, but we're not really tapping into it enough. So certainly a great insight to cap off this episode of Breakthrough Success. If you guys want to learn more about Brendan, and the easiest way, get his book, 1 Million Followers. You can either go to the show notes for that or just simply 1millionfollowers.com, all one word. If you guys also want to join us in the Breakthrough Success Facebook group, you could do that at contentmarketingplaza.com/Facebook. We'd love to chat with you about this episode and some of the other episodes on the podcast. But once again, Brendan, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show and sharing all of your great insights. It was such a pleasure to have you on Breakthrough Success.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it, Mark.